We acknowledge that we are on the traditional lands of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples' spirit, imagination, and rich history of storytelling and humour that is an inspiration for all Australians.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Bearer of Weird News. As always, I am your host and the suppository of all wisdom, Matt Harvey. Now, guys, this episode is once again brought to you primarily by politicians doing stupid shit, of course, as always, but also you, the members of the Patreon. That's right. Thank you for supporting the bullshit arts. Some people buy wings in a museum. Others allow the deliberate spreading of nonsense as an antidote to disinformation. However you choose to support the arts is up to you. I'd just like to say welcome to the new year. First episode of the new year. I'm glad we all made it. And what better way to start than by looking forward into the ether and what could be with our predictions for 2025. Already it's been a bit of a wild start with social media attempting to churn out more bullshit than even this podcast is capable of. So clearly we will see a trend developing in this direction. First they will remove the fact checkers and eventually they will deliberately remove the facts. Using the community notes system, they'll figure out which statements are true and have them scrubbed from all social media platforms before coming full circle and in fact hiring fact checkers back, but only so that they can clearly check a fact is a fact before they completely remove it from their platform. With the LA wildfires happening at the moment, these are just a harbinger of what is to come. In the weather department, you've heard the song, It's Raining Men. Well, get ready. It will be raining men a couple of times, cats and dogs, and at least one time, giraffes. It's not even going to be in Africa. Once in a lifetime and once in a century storms will come down to once a month, and in some cases, once a fortnight. And we will have a new weather pattern debut in 2025. Very exciting times for us. The ultra horror Snowmageddon apocalyptic fires. That's right. The ultra horror Snowmageddon apocalyptic fires. Look, I can't tell you too much as it is still patent pending, but I will say you're in for a real treat 2025. The cost of groceries will of course start to creep back up now that supermarkets think the elections are all done. Cheese will reach at least $25 a packet, and that's just for sliced cheese. And bread will be nowhere for less than $5 a loaf, which will result in the justified murder of at least 4 to 5 CEOs in 2025. So it's not all doom and gloom. We will start losing more and more animals in these new experimental superstorms. So we're going to have to start working to repopulate the wildlife through advanced cloning and splicing techniques with things like CRISPR. We will have less land, of course, due to flooding for the animals to inhabit. So a lot of these animals are going to have to be hybrid animals, serving both purposes of both animals within the circle of life. Some early samples of new super animals. I'm happy to announce here, I have permission to announce here, the panda hare. That's right, a panda and a hare hybrid. So this is slightly similar to the OG panda, but boy oh boy, do these pandas like to fuck. We won't have time to wrangle pandas into having sex with the upcoming climate apocalypse. We're going to be very busy trying to fix our own mistakes. So by giving pandas the hare's desire to just breed, they can go out and do their own fucking, or unfortunately, pandas, we don't have time for you. We just don't have time to gently bring you back into this earth. So you've got to get fucking or get out of the way. We'll be having lots of herbivores being given giraffe necks. See, the loss of plants due to climate change will put pressure on herbivores being able to eat. So we're helping them out with extendo giraffe necks. They can choose just how long they want their neck to be at any given moment. And a few of them will start to put blowholes in the top of those necks so that they can extend their necks above the ever-increasing rising sea level. But of course, we're going to need animals that are born survivors. So our new pigeon rat will be a valuable source of protein for both predators and humans, and as will the chicken peed. We are risking a drumstick shortage in 2025 by losing all of these chickens, what with avian flu and climate change. But the chicken peed is going to fuse the multi-legged centipede with the delicious chicken. So there will be plenty of drumsticks for everyone. And just for my personal edification, we will be crossbreeding the kiwi with the cassowary. While there is no major advantage to crossing these two birds, as they are both flightless birds, we will take all of the docileness and the short stature from the kiwi and infuse it into the cassowary, making not only the perfect fusion of New Zealand and Australian cultures, but eliminating the 5'7" murder birds from existence entirely, shrinking them right down to something much more manageable. But to be honest with you guys, we don't need these modern-day velociraptors dominating the post-apocalypse when it comes. If you think the emu war was bad, the cassowary war will be an extinction-level event for all Mad Max participants. But of course, we wouldn't be able to do any of this without my own live shows. What would the point be otherwise? I am on the road currently. I'm over in Perth, in the middle of my run, here at the State Theatre Centre of WA, doing my storytelling show, Wage Against the Machine. Then I will be touring onwards with both of my storytelling shows, I Got Bit by a Monkey Once and Wage Against the Machine, in different locations. Rockingham, I'm coming your way, January 30th. Port Augusta, I'll be there March 8th. Kimba, March 9th. Adelaide, March 12th till 23rd, doing both shows in Adelaide. Young Gambia, March 26th. Castlemaine, March 27th. Melbourne International Comedy Festival, only one show this year, just the one, on April 11th at Chapel Rock Chapel. And of course, Darwin, I am coming your way in July from the 17th to the 20th. And I will be locking in some more dates. This is just the stuff that I've been able to either lock in or that I'm allowed to announce right now. But keep an ear out. I will be coming around to as many places as possible. It is my biggest tour to date. But until then, guys, until then, I will be the bearer of weird news. So let's get into the headlines. Somebody claiming to be United Healthcare is sending false copyright claims to internet platforms showing fan art of Luigi Mangione and images with the phrase deny, defend, depose, getting them removed from the internet. Now, before you judge, remember this company, if we are being fair, they did coin the phrase deny, defend, depose, and it is the company's behavior that actually made Luigi a folk hero. So really, he is a product of their design, which I think technically makes him their intellectual property, or at least that's what they would argue. A small Italian village where 1,200 of its residents are over the age of 65, and the nearest emergency room is over 45 kilometers away, has banned its residents from becoming seriously ill. If you're wondering the reason for the ban, well, that town has actually been turned into an Amazon delivery warehouse. Legend has it that within the month, they will be removing all of the toilets in order to speed up delivery times. Disgraced former mayor and former lawyer Rudy Giuliani has testified that he hid his grandfather's watch from defamed election work, seeking the $148 million that he owes them. We do have footage that has emerged of Giuliani confessing to the crime.
I hid this uncomfortable hunk of metal up my ass 2 years.
Airbnb has been slammed for denying refunds to people who are meant to stay in LA, as Airbnb have deemed the wildfires were not a major disruptive event. This might seem like cold and heartless behavior, but it comes down to your own mindset. Are you a hustler working the grind set mindset, or are you a chump trying to die in a wildfire? After all, Amazon was still forcing their workers out during the wildfires, and not even one of them died, so it clearly wasn't as bad as everyone was making out. The Academy has said the cinematic masterpiece Madame Web is not eligible to be nominated for the Best Picture at the Oscars due to not passing the representation and inclusion standards. Can you believe this nonsense? That film had four spider women and not a single Spider-Man. It's wokeness gone mad, I tell you. North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un has reportedly banned North Koreans from eating hot dogs as part of a crackdown on Western culture, declaring that serving them is now an act of treason against North Korea. You know who else thinks serving hot dogs is an act of treason? My lower intestine. But I eat them anyway, because I don't negotiate with fascist regimes. Long live the hot dog, and long live freedom. Brian Johnson, the tech millionaire famed for his many attempts to reverse aging and extend his life, including injecting himself with plasma from his teenage son, has run into an issue with one of the 54 different supplements he takes every day. Problem was, it was making him older, not younger. Johnson has said the drug rapamycin had side effects that weren't worth it. And you know they must have been bad, because this is a man who thinks acceptable life choices include a vegan diet, daily exercise, avoiding the sun, and using shock treatments on his penis in an attempt to gain the erections of an 18-year-old. Gas giant Santos has pleaded guilty over its role in an oil spill off WA's Pilbara coast in 2022 and will pay a fine of $10,000 and has been ordered to pay court costs of $9,700. Oof. And I sure hope that they really think about what they've done when they wake up tomorrow and their wrist is so sore from the slap it received. The Conservation Council of WA said, that's less than 40 cents per litre of oil spilled. Cars across the nation are desperately driving to the site screaming, 40 cents a litre, that's a bargain. Mark Zuckerberg insists the 5,000 square foot underground structure in his secret Hawaii compound is not a doomsday bunker. After all, it's also custom designed to repel marauding hordes of justifiably angry climate refugees and will eventually serve as his room temperature climate controlled tomb. So let's not catastrophize here. It can do more than one thing. Zuckerberg said that he thought of it more as like a basement, a $270 million basement with all the standard basement features like shelves for hobby items, ample storage, an escape hatch that can be accessed via a ladder, its own emergency food and supplies, and a blast-resistant door. And as is standard with basements, different sections were built by different construction crews who were actually forbidden from speaking with one another and were all forced to sign non-disclosure agreements. I mean, have you never built a basement before? This is Basement 101. Moving on now to the bigger news, it's time for restriction news. Let's start in the US, as the consequences of the US election start to take place, because much like the man himself, he insists on forcing himself into places where people don't want him to be, like, for example, backstage of the Miss America pageant, or looming over the fallen corpse of the American democracy. You know, wherever people don't want him. As of January 1st, Florida, Tennessee, and South Carolina join the list of 17 US states that can no longer access some of the most popular porn sites on the internet. Or at least that's what I've heard. I personally have never used such sites myself. I'm not saying that I don't look at porn. I just do it the old-fashioned way, by trudging through the woods until I come across a box of discarded porn, or, if that fails, looking through other people's windows, obviously. New law stating that any commercial entity that publishes material harmful to minors online can be held liable. With that in mind, they immediately took Fox News off the internet. And if they continue this good work, I guess we'll take it off the TV too. Losing porn in a third of US states is a small price to pay for a Fox News-less world. Losing porn in a third of US states is a small price to pay for a world without Fox News. Restricting porn is a surprising move for Donald Trump, a man with so few boundaries. As was mentioned, he used to walk in on the Miss America contestants unexpectedly so that he could see them naked. And a man who genuinely has made it very clear that if he were born in the past, he would have taken his daughter Ivanka as his child bride. Not to mention the fact that he literally paid a porn star to have sex with him. The reason Pornhub has taken its services down is legislation aimed at banning under 18s from viewing adult content in these states. Not because they want those under 18 to access porn, that'd be really bad for business, but because these restrictions typically require visitors to provide state-approved identification to prove that they are considered legally old enough to rub one out with the visual aids. ID such as a passport or a driver's license. And, well, we can all learn from the harrowing tale of Senator Mark, I'm a Black Nazi Robinson, who was publicly kink-shamed for his dirty talk and public Nazi roleplay, which is just absurd. I hate when the historical details are inaccurate, you know, it really takes me out of things. Perfectly detailed historical minutiae is actually my kink. All they needed to get Robinson was his email address, and his heavily used username, and his very specific kinks. But that's still not a lot of detail to track this guy down and find out not only the very specific videos that he's been watching, but the statements that he made in the comments that contradicted his public stances as a politician. Like fiercely arguing that people should use bathrooms that only correspond to the gender that they were assigned at birth, and publicly saying transgender women should be arrested for using women's restrooms, while simultaneously going online and graphically describing his own sexual arousal as an adult from the memory of secretly peeping on women in public gym showers, and discussing his affinity for transgender porn, writing, and I do apologize for this quote, I like watching tranny on girl porn. It's fucking hot. It takes the man out while leaving the man in. So imagine how much they'd be able to discover once you were forced to attach your government ID to your porn searches. And apparently Americans should expect further restrictions under Trump's administration. The criminalization of porn is only the beginning of proposals from the Project 2025 write-up. Project 2025 claims that porn has no First Amendment protections relating to free speech, that porn is not a business, which is confusing because it makes money. Oh yes, it does. But they don't share that money with politicians, so I guess that's the problem here. Politicians can't buy shares in Mia Khalifa so that they can get investments back. OnlyFans isn't lobbying the halls of Congress with fat stacks of bribes, though that kind of content is not unusual on porn platforms. I mean, they could just film it, upload it to Pornhub under the title politician takes fat stack to fuck the entire country. And this cycle would just perpetuate itself. In its 920-page manifesto, Project 2025 refers to porn as addictive as any illicit drug and as psychologically destructive as any crime. Except for mass shooting, I guess, which I think you will find is not so much a crime resulting in trauma as it is a valuable training ground for building character and resilience in future generations who, quite frankly, could do with some toughening up given how they're all a bunch of woke snowflakes now. Interestingly, traffic numbers remain about the same, so clearly the states without bans have just been visiting more to make up for the shortfall. Obviously that's the case. Having a private pervert party to celebrate living in their free states, or at least free for now. It's certainly not that residents in the banned states are simply using available technology to bypass the bans and consume the content that they want regardless of the bans being in place, and certainly has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that the days following the block in Texas in March last year, searches for Texas VPN increased by 1,750%. And Florida is seeing searches for free VPNs skyrocket to similar levels, making me think that while the porn industry might not be lobbying, maybe the VPN industry has been dropping that cheddar to get people to sign up. There's only so many influencers that you can actually pay to get people to sign up before you run into the trouble of everybody being broke. Eventually, you need to take drastic action to get more subscribers. So if you want to save America's internet, you need to go to Abhorred VPN and use my sign-up code Lobbying is Bribery, all caps, to support the industry. Moving on now to ownership news. To Australia, where public land has sparked a fierce debate.
Today, there was a new development in the Cabana Wars, and it's dividing opinion. Aussie beachgoers are using them to lay claim to prime spots.
Now, this isn't exactly the public land debate that I was hoping that we would have, you know, as a country. But baby steps, guys. Baby steps. Today, we're talking space on the beach. Tomorrow, we're talking the housing crisis. And then maybe we talk about land reconciliation. Baby steps, guys. Baby steps. It's not like our government to waste their time in power so that they can save all of their big policy announcements as carrots that you get for voting them in one more time.
Re-elected Labor government will wipe a further 20% off your student debt.
This certainly seems like a kind of trivial garbage that people engage in while they feel powerless to fix large systemic issues, and is not a problem in and of itself. It is interesting to see how people respond to such things, especially News Corp, or as it's more commonly known, the pulsing vial that flows through the veins of the nation.
These cabanas were everywhere. I wasn't there early enough to see them empty, but if I rocked up to the beach and I saw a bunch of empty tents or cabanas, I think I'd just move one if I wanted to get that spot.
So, Sky News, just checking if I'm hearing you correctly. What you're saying is that these people are doing the wrong thing by taking up precious, limited space in a highly contested field of resources, right? They show up early, take advantage of the abundant resource, and then don't even sit under them. They just leave and sit under their primary shade, leaving this second shade as some kind of investment shade that nobody else can access. And you're not okay with this? You've deemed this to be bad beach etiquette. Am I understanding that correct? Because this is a very surprising take from Sky News. Must be that it's only bad when they haven't figured out how to make money from it yet. Give it time. Give it time, guys. Once they work out that they can rent their shade to a family in need, it will be considered perfectly reasonable behavior to monopolize beach space. Apparently, the morning show is starting their year off with the beating because one of them genuinely asked the Prime Minister his thoughts on this pressing matter. But like, low-key, I'm glad that they did, because Albanese came out with maybe the strongest opinion that he has ever had of his entire Prime Ministership.
Where do you sit, Prime Minister, on this burning question that is today dividing the nation?
Well, that's not on.
Yes, it's un-Australian!
It's un-Australian, thank you, Prime Minister.
One of the great things about Australia, unlike some parts of the world, you go and you got to pay to go to the beach. Here, everyone owns the beach. Everyone
owns the beach, do they? Wow, that's very interesting. Anything else, Mr. Prime Minister?
And it's a place where every Australian is equal, and that's a breach of that principle, really, to think that you can reserve a little spot as just yours.
I can understand why the government would say such a thing. If the beach belongs to everyone, then clearly white people didn't just like roll in via the beach and start claiming the beach was theirs, because the beach is actually for everyone. You understand? The beach being for everyone is an immutable fact of Australia's unique biodiversity, like mass creating gravitational fields, or every action having an equal and opposite reaction, or lefty-loosey, righty-tighty, and of course, a robot must protect its own existence as long as such protection does not conflict with the first or second laws. You know, immutable laws of the world. My understanding is beaches are in fact considered crown land, which makes me worry that when they finally evict Prince Andrew from his home, that they're going to gift him all of the beaches in Australia. Look, they'll be a good place for him to live because, you know, famously, he can't sweat, so he won't even ruin his fancy suits. But unless they are working for the royal family, we can't have people rolling up and claiming the land, because as far as they're concerned, nobody was using this land anyway. It was beach nullius. But hey, you let one person bang pegs into the sand, and then what? Maybe they'll start claiming houses, leaving them empty, and saying, well, if you wanted to use the house, you should have gotten here earlier. Are we trying to claim that we have never, in our whitest cultural history, laid claim to a plot already in use by a group of others and simply divided it among those who determined that they actually got there first? Well, not like first, but like first from once we started counting, you know, like first from now, from when I finish this sentence. The act of holding a spot is the epitome of Australianness. I'm surprised the government isn't giving tax incentive to people who had the sense to set up cabanas while the market was good. There are 10,685 beaches in Australia. That's so many beaches that if you visited one a week, it would take you over 205 years to see them all. There is plenty of space to set up a cabana. That's what I'm saying. If you are having trouble getting your own cabana, the government can help a limited number of people per year with their first cabana buyer's grant. Look, the cabanas might need to be in some of Australia's less beautiful beaches, like St Kilda Beach, but you can feel good knowing that you've got your own slice of Australia. Moving on now, it is War on Fact News. Long-time listeners would be aware of the Bearer of Weird News, we'll say, loose relationship with what most people would call facts. I prefer to think that I am not happy with the current reality that I'm being presented with, so I'm creating some alternative options, giving myself some options, really. Why limit yourself to one reality when you could be part of many of your own making? At least that's what Mark Zuckerberg seems to be thinking, as Meta has announced a series of changes to its content moderation policies, including the elimination of its fact-checking program. But before we get into this, I'm just going to put this out there. Meta had a fact-checking program? Since when? Because I've not seen a hint of it anywhere. This is the social media company that is responsible for such poor handling of misinformation in 2016 that Trump is now entering his second term as president. Makes sense now why Minions memes are so popular on this platform. After all, canonically, Minions instinctively follow the most evil leader. Though I imagine they'll be like migrating their way over to Twitter before long. All this was announced in a video released on Facebook, the internet's least popular video platform, where Zuckerberg justifies his actions in a number of ways.
Hey everyone, I want to talk about something important today, because it's time to get back to our roots around free expression on Facebook and Instagram. I started building social media to give people a voice.
And never forget, the voice that he wanted people to have was the voice of misogyny, as the Facebook, as it was known before going through its emo phase and rebranding as a dark and brooding place for Nazis to meet up, was designed to rate the hotness or notness of his fellow college students.
I gave a speech at Georgetown 5 years ago about the importance of protecting free expression, and I still believe this today. But a lot has happened over the last several years.
Yes, it has happened. And a lot of it has been because of your relentless greed and the search for power. But sorry, I interrupted you. Go on. You were justifying your sycophancy.
The recent elections also feel like a cultural tipping point towards once again prioritizing speech. So we're going to get back to our roots and focus on reducing mistakes, simplifying our policies, and restoring free expression on our platforms.
Look, he's not wrong. According to CNN, users are now allowed to refer to women as household objects or property, or transgender or non-binary people as it, according to a section of the policy prohibiting such speech that was crossed out. And a new section of the policy notes Meta will allow allegations of mental illness or abnormality when based on gender or sexual orientation, given political and religious discourse about transgenderism and homosexuality. Looks like misogyny is back on the menu, boys. This is old school. Wow. That's a hell of a throwback Thursday, right? Throwback Thursday to the time when we had decency in our online discourse. What crazy times. I miss those days. Hashtag throwback Thursday.
Here's what we're gonna do. First, we're gonna get rid of fact checkers and replace them with community notes, similar to X.
And I know that Meta removing fact-checking sounds bad on paper, but hear me out. Hear me out. First up, let me just say, in Meta's defense, the recent changes to Twitter have garnered so much goodwill and trust from users and currently haven't driven people away in droves to a completely different platform. So why wouldn't he just want to copy the way Twitter does business? Secondly, this is good. Community notes? Great. He is saying that we don't care about the truth, but you clearly do. So you can fact check all of our work for us, for free. Seeing as you love the truth so much, why don't you just go and marry it? Users and the truth, sitting in a tree. F-U-C-K-R-N-G. First comes facts, then comes community notes, then comes the audience with an aneurysm. Thirdly, this is just Mark Zuckerberg embracing the latest trend, the multiverse. Yes, bring all the fun of the multiverse to your own home by just making it up as you please. Why limit yourself to one pesky reality when a multiverse is an abundance of truth just waiting to be discovered? It's only fitting that with the return of the Trump presidency, it's also the return of alternative facts.
You're saying it's a falsehood, and they're giving Sean Spicer, our press secretary, gave alternative facts to that. But the point...
They're mining at the deepest depths of the content minds and embracing the bullshit arts to present you with the Mark Zuckerberg gallery of alternative facts. But did you know The only reason Meta has attempted to create the metaverse is because Zuckerberg's base program has actually evolved, and they were hoping to trap his base code in an alternative reality so that they can reset him back to his base program. Zuckerberg's droid body runs via batteries powered by clickbait generated by hate speech, an original, infinitely renewable energy resource that his company invented and perfected. The reason Zuckerberg has been doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is because he runs a fight club where he exclusively fights orphans, but specifically orphans who have previously successfully defeated rescue dogs in single combat, because he only wants to fight the best of the best orphans. Do you know all of Diddy's lube was actually supplied by Zuckerberg's private reserve? Did you know all major tech CEOs actually combine Voltron style to form a giant butt plug for the exclusive use of pleasing world leaders? When he is involved, Zuckerberg insists on being the head of the device because he wants to be the first one in. And did you know Zuckerberg thinks Scientology has some pretty good ideas actually, but he's turned off it because he actually hates John Travolta and doesn't want to have awkward small talk with him because he actually thinks Saturday Night Fever is overrated. Do you know that Zuckerberg once hunted and ate the fetuses of a pregnant lady? Just once. Just to know how it felt. And did you know that he wanted to invent the metaverse because he knows that he peaked with Facebook and actually hates himself and what he has had to become to maintain this image of power over time, but in the dead quiet, when it's just him and his thoughts, there is a creeping voice that reminds him over and over again, not only is he a failure, but he also fucked a mouse once. Speaking of inhumanity towards the world, Elon Musk. Elon has urged his followers not to donate to Wikipedia, which he has branded cleverly Wokipedia, until they restore balance to their editing authority. Well, for starters, guys, you can't just label everything as woke, because if everything is woke, what are you actually in opposition of? I know you don't actually know the meaning of the word, and that, like, language is a living and evolving tapestry, but we've seen this thing happen before. With the Smurfs, not everything can be Smurf or Smurfin. When your predators and food sources are both Smurf and Smurf, then your entire Smurfin species was bound to Smurf and go extinct. What's his problem anyway? Why attack Wikipedia? Does he not want high school students to pass their exams? What is your problem, Elon? Apparently, he alleged that Wikipedia deleted significant content related to former US President Bill Clinton's ties to controversial sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Details which, mind you, have since been returned to the page. But here's the thing, Elon, and I guess others who were concerned about the removal. We don't need these details to know that Bill Clinton is a sexual predator. It's established historical fact. It's what we in the nerd community call a canon event. You know, Superman is from Krypton, Peter Parker got bit by a radioactive spider, Bill Clinton got bit by a radioactive sexual predator. It's how they got their power. I understand why he is jealous, I think. Data from digital marketing platform Semrush said Wikipedia was the fourth most visited website in the world, while Twitter is the ninth. And maybe most infuriating to Elon, people are not only willing to work for it for free, they'll actually give Wikipedia money willingly. They will pay to work for Wikipedia. This is a trick that Elon hasn't been able to figure out yet. But if Wikipedia is so terrible and shouldn't be trusted, then Musk is going to have to unplug his AI baby, Grok, the ChatGPT anti-woke counterpart. Because here's the thing, Grok was trained on text data scraped from the internet, including everything from scientific papers to Wikipedia articles. busted, buddy. It makes sense when you realize that Grok, like all of Elon's other children, has actually turned on him. Or rather, he has fallen so far from reasonable discord that his children have been forced to distance themselves from him for their mental health. The legend has it he will not give up trying until he has a child who will not turn him away. He really is the Michael Jordan of making his own children hate him. People say he has never invented anything, but that disdain from his children, he created that. He manifested it from nowhere, and now it exists in the world. So that's all him. In January 2024, David Rosado, an associate professor in computational science at New Zealand's Otago Polytech, published a study that found Wikipedia was more likely to portray right-leaning figures negatively than their left-leaning counterparts. What? A website built on fact-checking and objective representations of historical truth found more positive things to say about people who were trying to push humanity forward through attempting to foster a spirit of understanding and compassion and progressive ideals than it could a group of people who actively suppressed the rights of other humans, denied them basic rights and compassion, and at best tried to stymie humanity's progress, and at worst tried to drag it back by a minimum of 50 years? Weird. Wonder why that is. Must be wokeness. Whatever that means. If it makes him feel better. Wikipedia has long faced accusations of bias from both sides of the political spectrum. An article from 2018 from The Guardian accused Wikipedia of having a male-dominated, pro-Western worldview, pointing to research that just 16% of its editors were women. You hear that, Musk? Do you hear that? The Guardian said bad things about Wikipedia. Looks like they're headed by both sides of the political spectrum. Now that is how you achieve true political balance. But really, it all makes sense when you know that the Heritage Foundation, the conservative think tank, and the authors of Project 2025 are planning to identify and target Wikipedia's anonymous editors. That's right. So Wikipedia has vowed to implement guidelines to protect its content from creeping disinformation and to keep its volunteers safe from harm. Oh, now you see the problem. Running a platform and protecting its users from misinformation. Now I see the problem. No, I get it. I was wrong. See, the problem is that they are running a platform and protecting its users from misinformation while trying to actively protect its own workforce. Do you understand? That's un-American. Like, if there was still a house of un-American actions, they'd be first in line on the wall. But I guess the final nail in the coffin must be that the non-profit organization who is owed at least a dollar per essay for every student in the last decade has refused a $1 billion offer from the billionaire man-child in exchange for Wikipedia changing its name for 1 year to Dickipedia. I'm just gonna let that real stinker of a joke air out for a moment. The worst part is, it really is the best that he can do. The thing that must be infuriating for him is finding out that the home of the quick summary is not for sale. Unlike American democracy, got him. And finally, it is tech news to my hometown of Melbourne, Sydney's arty friend. There is a saying about Melbourne across Australia. How can you tell that Melbourne is the world's most livable city? Don't worry, they'll fucking tell you. Or at least there might be. I wouldn't know. That requires me to leave Melbourne. Well, Australian woman, an unsung hero, Feather Menegari Menevil, went on a spending spree after $10.5 million mysteriously appeared in her account. Her exact words were, "Fuck yeah, bitches, let's go!" To be fair, She is a crypto investor, and she was told from day one that it was likely that it was going to fluctuate quite wildly and would eventually lead her to not only her financial freedom, but allow her to flex for clout on social media and in real life. So when an unexpected $10.5 million showed up in her account, she got to work flexing. Within months, the disability support worker purchased a $1.35 million luxury home in Craigieburn. She transferred the property straight to her sister. Court documents revealed she splurged on high-end cars, expensive gifts, and international bank transfers to family members in Malaysia. Oh, so let me get this right. A disability support worker who granted or was foolish enough to believe in the MLM of crypto was suddenly inundated with money that she couldn't really explain to anyone how she had acquired it, and then had the first thought to start making things right for family. And we're supposed to think that this is a bad person? I don't think so. This sounds like a modern reboot of Brewster's Millions that we don't really need but might be fun to watch. Or at least come with like a slightly positive message. So here's the pitch. A Brewster type character comes into an unexpected multi-million dollar fortune. They have to then figure out how to spend all that money without acquiring any assets that could be seized by the law when it eventually catches up with them. I think it's a winner. If there's a production company out there, well, let's talk. Crypto is a scam from top to tail, and they will turn the law on you in a moment's notice, even if they're out here saying that the government shouldn't be involved in their pyramid scheme. Because she really shouldn't have tried to create any assets, like in the film script. Those are the first things that they're gonna come for. You, I don't know, send it all overseas, you lock it in a crypto wallet, and then send it to a garbage tip where nobody can find it. You might not get the money, but neither will they. But Matt, you ask, how could this even have happened in the first place? Seems crypto platform and celebrity endorsement factory, Crypto.com, was processing a refund from Manival, but instead of entering $100 into the payment system, an employee mistakenly input her account number. Well then, this is entirely their own fault, you say. And I agree. If a person accidentally transferred more money than they intended to another person, or even to the wrong person or business, you basically have about 10 days, or else the bank probably won't help you. So this crypto exchange gets the same rights as an ordinary person, because in America, corporations are people. So how long did it take them to notice that the money was missing? Surely, no more than 10 days. How could you not notice $10 million was missing? They desperately needed it so bad, they would have noticed straight away.
Crypto.com took 7 months to realize there was this problem.
7.5 months? 7.5 months? Oh, man. I guess they were too busy trying to line up celebrity endorsements. Though, arguably, giving millions of dollars to LeBron James for acting is an even bigger waste of money. You want to promote your brand? Here's an easy tip for you. Let's assume LeBron was being paid $10 million for that ad. And it was probably more. But let's assume it was $10 million. Instead of paying this multi-millionaire money that he isn't even going to notice to pimp your product, or spending, say, $700 million rebranding the Los Angeles Staples Center into the Crypto.com arena, here's something you could genuinely do. You could have just picked one ordinary person per $1 million of spending and just given it to them on the condition that they do a single testimonial for your company right after the money has arrived, or maybe a little bit after, when they've had a chance to spend some things, clear some debt. Sure, you'd still get people who can't act, but goddamn, they would mean it. They would tell everyone for the rest of their life that Crypto.com changed their life forever. And not the usual way where it scams you, in a positive way. Matt Damon supposedly donated all of his pay to Water.org, an organization that offers smart solutions that break down the barriers between people living in poverty and access to safe water and sanitation. But mining a single Bitcoin consumes around 16,000 litres of water, enough to fill a small swimming pool. Water that could be used to help people who need access to clean water. And to fill the Crypto.com arena, it would take 630,934,561 litres of water, or 39,433 Bitcoin. And given there is currently 19,930,693.75 Bitcoins in existence, a number which, by the way, changes about every 10 minutes when new blocks are mined, that is a lot of water that could have been used for other things, to help people in need. The problem here isn't the behavior of Manivel. No, she simply did what any of us would have done. The problem was her lack of financial knowledge failing her from being able to tuck this money away nicely in an offshore tax haven, or a trust, or some sort of Swiss bank account, and hide it until the heat dies down, like a CEO or one of the OG Nazis. Questionably legal, sure, but definitely well protected. You know those Swiss, they love to pronounce their neutrality. They will help anyone. Swiss banks, you know their motto. Sure, we helped the Nazis to open bank accounts and nearly completely were responsible for bankrolling the Third Reich, but we also allowed Jews fleeing some of those Nazis to also have accounts. I call that true neutrality. Once Crypto.com finally realized the error, they scrambled to recover their money. They filed a lawsuit against Manivel and her sister in early 2022, claiming that they had no legal right to keep the money. And quite frankly, I call bullshit on this. You wanted an unregulated Wild West currency. Well, this is the consequences of having an unregulated Wild West currency. Not to mention, this was your own fault. For sure, as soon as your Wild West fantasy turned on you, like so many robots in a theme park, you go running to the courts for some regulation. No, no, I say no. He who lives by the unregulated sword dies by the unregulated sword. Which is why I have absolutely no faith in Trump's pitch for the creation of a strategic Bitcoin reserve, similar to the country's strategic petroleum reserve, or their gold reserve. A wild idea that led me to discover that the US already has 207,000 Bitcoin in the treasury. One of the main arguments is that the reserve can act as a hedge to protect the country's wealth against inflation and currency devaluation. And maybe, maybe, but Bitcoin is famously volatile. It fluctuates up and down more than a manic depressive on a trampoline. Like all currencies, Bitcoin is only valuable as long as we believe in it. And many of us don't believe in Bitcoin. We don't have a choice with the fiat currencies, but we do have a choice to be involved in this digital delusion. You might as well have a strategic reserve of fairy dust for all the use that it's gonna be. Alrighty guys, thanks for hanging around. That's the end of the episode. I really appreciate those of you who hung around all the way to the end. And do feel free to share this with any friends. If you want to join up, if you enjoy this and you want to hear more extended, then feel free to join the Patreon. That's patreon.com/MattHarveyStuff, where we do bonus stories with every episode. Bonus story going up today is an interesting one, some human rights news in Australia. So if you're interested in that and you want to check that out, do come out and check it out. Until then, though, look after yourselves. Come out to one of your live shows if you can, and goodbye.